So we're going to embark on a four-week journey. And as we begin this journey together, I want to state something that I think should be obvious, but we need to be reminded of. We do not need to be just another church, just another gathering. We need to have purpose, we need to have direction, and it needs to be God's direction. Who we are, why we are here, and what we believe should be at the forefront of our mission. Everything that we do and how we plan, how we go about doing what we do. And we see this just as kind of a refresh, a reminder. We see this in our mission statement summarized. We believe at Wall Highway, we desire to be people who love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Love people who are actively sharing Jesus with word and deed, and then making disciples of those who come to know Christ. That is our mission at Wall Highway Baptist Church. That is what determines how we determine what we do. And we accomplish this through our strategy, which you see printed on your handout every week, plastered all over the church and in different ways. And our strategy is to connect, grow, serve, and go. We want to connect people to Christ first, and then to his church. We want to help them grow in their relationship with Christ and reach spiritual maturity, grow towards spiritual maturity. We want people to discover their gifts that God has given them and abilities and begin to serve him, and then to go outside the walls of the church on mission for him. And that strategy is what guides us from day to day. Our mission is kind of our GPS. Our strategy is what helps us to determine what we're doing. If we're making a decision about a ministry or a program or an activity, where does it fall into one of these four things? Connect, grow, serve, and go. So that's what guides us. And listen, if you don't buy into that mission statement, that strategy, if we don't buy into that, I believe that we will never be all that God intends for us to be as a church. I believe we will never accomplish all that he wants to accomplish through us for his kingdom as a church. And so that is our driving force. That is what guides us and steers us, his mission for our church. Now, in the midst of all of that, what our biggest danger, I believe, is that we can forget easily and forsake what our real business is. We can get caught up in all of the activity, planning, and all the things that are important that are there to help us accomplish our mission. We can get caught up in the day-to-day of those things and forget that our real business is the title of this new series, and that's deep soul fishing. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks. How many of you have ever been deep sea fishing before? I have not. Some of you have. I was interested to learn that Florida put out a report recently for the 2019-2020 fiscal year for their fishing industry, both saltwater and freshwater. And just saltwater, deep sea fishing alone, more than 1.5 million people participated in that sport during that time frame. That's amazing when you think about it. It resulted, get this, in a total economic impact of $9.2 billion. That's how much it impacted the economy. It provides jobs for around 88,000 people. Just deep sea fishing. This is Florida alone. Now, why am I talking about that? Why do I even bring that up? Well, we're going to see over the next 4 weeks that deep sea fishing is a great picture for what we are to be about, and that's deep soul fishing. We're going to see how that's a beautiful picture of what we are to be about as a church, corporately, individually, as followers of Christ. Now, I want to ask a question. If Jesus were here today, which His presence is here. We know that he manifests, the Holy Spirit gathers where two or more gathered. But if he were, just imagine, if he were here physically, what would he see and what would he say? Now, that's something we should think about every time we come together to worship. But keeping with what we're talking about here, I think first thing he would see is not a building. I think he would see a boat. All right, bear with me. And I think within that boat, he would see in this crowd two types of people. Okay, he would see fishermen and women, and he would also see fish. He would see those who have already been caught and made to become fishermen, and he would see those who don't yet know him, and we're classifying as those people as fish, those who are yet to be caught. And we're going to dig into what I mean by that as we walk through this. And here's the thing. I'm going to let you in on a secret, okay? You are one or the other. You're either a fisherman or a fish, one or the other. And so hopefully, if you're not a fisherman, by the end of today, you will be, all right? But we're going to look today in Mark chapter 1 as Jesus calls his first disciples. And if he were here, that's what he would see. I believe if he were here today, he would say, for those who are either not yet his or are not being obedient to him, he would say what we see him say, hear him say to Simon and Andrew in these verses in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. As he passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, that's Simon Peter, and Andrew is his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Follow me," he said. I think that's what he would tell us. He would say, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. I will make you fishers of men." And so this statement, this one statement, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," tells us what our primary business is to be as the people of God, both as the church body, corporately, collectively, but individually as followers of Christ. First, here's what we learn about this business. We are in the following business. Those two simple words that Jesus says, I'm amazed by that. I mean, I'm amazed. Jesus says to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me." Now think about what he's saying and why he's saying it here. What is he asking them to do? You think about this, really, I mean, Andrew knew who Jesus was. We get a little more information from Luke and John. So Andrew had at least seen John the Baptist announce Jesus as the Messiah and had made a decision to follow Jesus. Okay, we're going to get into that more next week, where he was in this process. But he didn't know Jesus that well. Simon, Andrew goes to his brother, Simon, who becomes Peter later, and tells him about Jesus. But Peter doesn't know Jesus. I mean, they're basically strangers, all right? And so he's looking at them, and that's kind of where they are. Luke records the miracle, at least that had happened before that, the miracle of the huge catch of fish. But still, even with all of that, what is he asking them to do when he says, "Follow me"? I mean, he's asking them to give up everything they've ever known and to leave it behind and to follow him. Now, they had seen a miracle. Andrew had made a decision at least to follow him. But now is the true test. Are they really going to be willing to give up everything and follow Jesus? That's what he's asking. I'm reminded of a story I read. I can't remember where I read it, but I kept it. And it was a story about a man walking through a cemetery. And he found on a gravestone, he found this epitaph. It says, "Pause, my friend, as you go by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be." Encouraging, right? "Prepare, my friend, to follow me." But somebody had scratched another line underneath that on the tombstone. It said, to follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went. That's wise advice. And I mean, I have to believe, okay, again, Andrew's a little further along than Simon is at this point, but I have to believe that on some level, Simon and Andrew had to be thinking that. We don't know you, okay? I mean, we know what's been said about you, and now you're asking us to give up everything. I mean, we see what you did. We can't explain that. And Peter was in awe. I mean, he was on the ground. I mean, he was completely humbled. He knew he was in the presence of God. But still, I mean, this is a huge, huge calling. But it's a calling that Jesus gives to all of us, those of us who would choose to be his disciples. And what's interesting here is not just what he said, but what he didn't say, what he's calling them to do. He didn't say, follow me and I will make you prosperous. And there goes the name it, claim it gospel. He didn't say, follow me and I will make you popular, because they certainly, they would be popular for reasons they didn't want to later on. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, follow me and I will make you powerful. What he did say to them is surprising, it's intimidating, and it's a little frightening when you think about it. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is what he's calling them to. And you could understand, I could at least, you know, looking at this, I mean, we've got the evidence of Scripture. We know how the story goes and how the story ends. But you could understand if they looked at him when he said this and say, you know what? I don't think so. That's just too much. I've got my fishing business here. I've got a family to take care of. You know, no, too much. We would understand that. But look at their response, verse 18. I'm amazed by this. When we really think about it, put ourselves in their shoes, I'm amazed by this. Immediately, no hesitation, Scripture's intentional, immediately they left their nets and followed him. I mean, they were gone in a flash. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They left their home. They left their businesses. They left their friends. They left their family to follow Jesus. This man that they barely knew, that, yes, believed, that Andrew at least believed he was the Messiah. Peter was humbled by what had just happened, but they leave everything. And if you want to know, if you're here today and you want to know what a true Christian is, that's it right there. A true Christian is a follower of Christ. We follow him in life. We believe that he is who he says he is, that he's the Son of God who became man. He's God himself who became man, who lived a sinless life, who died on the cross, who was raised from the dead. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then we make a decision to follow him, which means he calls the shots in my life. He directs my path. I listen to him. I study his word, and I obey what he says for me to do. My life is not my life, it's his life. And so I follow him in life, and then I follow him through death and get to spend eternity with him after this life. A true Christian is a follower of Christ, which means I'm a student of his, which means I'm going to live my life the way he wants, and that I'm going to invest my life in the things that he wants me to invest my life in. You know, there's another lesson here that we need to learn, and that's to follow means that we are going to fish. Let me put it simply. Followers fish, okay? I mean, that's what he's calling them to do, right? Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. So if I'm going to be a follower of Christ, then I'm going to be a fisherman. I don't fish that often. I brought some stuff with me today. I haven't used it in a while. But I am a fisherman, not in the sense that I go fishing, literally go fishing in terms of the recreational sport. But I am a fisherman because I am a follower of Christ, which means I am supposed to be going deep soul fishing every day of my life. Followers fish. And Jesus kept his word to these men. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that is exactly what he did. We see the testimony of Scripture bears this out. He took them, he discipled them, and then he released them, but he stayed with them, his power, his strength, the Holy Spirit, and he developed them into what he said they were going to be. And we see them becoming exactly what Jesus said they would become, and that's fishers of men. He kept his promise, and he makes the same promise to us. Jesus spent all 3 years of his ministry doing two things: turning people into followers, and then turning followers into fishermen. That's what he did, and that's what we are called to do. Become followers, become fishermen, and then turn others into followers and turn them into fishermen. Jesus works through us. It's his power, his presence. He changes lives, but we are called to fish for those men, to disciple them so that they will become fishers of men. We're in the following business. We are also in the finding business. We're in the finding business. Now, this is a mouthful. Follow me, okay? If it's true that to follow is to fish, and if followers fish, then it naturally follows that you have to find fish, because you can't find fish or you can't catch fish until you find them. Told you it was a mouthful. If I'm going to fish, I have to find the fish. I have to go where the fish are. If we are in the following business, then it stands to reason that we're also going to be in the finding business. Please understand, listen, the church, there's a lot of purposes in the church, okay? But the church exists primarily for the fish who have not yet been caught. I mean, there are benefits of being a part of the local church. I mean, there's accountability, there's discipleship. All of those things are necessary and vital parts. But what did Jesus tell us to do? What's the last thing he said before he left? Go and make disciples. What did the disciples do after he left? They went and made disciples, creating other disciples who went and made disciples. We are still here. The reason that we are still here on this earth is because God has a plan for us, and he wants to use us to go catch people. That's his plan. I don't know why he chose to do it that way. He certainly doesn't need us, but this is the primary mission of the church. There's a lot involved in that. It's not just catching. It's catching and then discipling. There's a lot that goes into that, okay? But we are here to go catch people. And if we're going to go catch people, we've got to go find those people. It is our job to go out and find those fish, to catch those fish, and to bring those fish into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus saves. Don't get me wrong. We don't save. But he chooses to use us to cast the net. He chooses to use us to share the good news of the gospel. That's the Great Commission. And he does the saving, but we do the fishing. We do the finding. He chooses to use us in that process. Now, listen, I don't know a lot about fishing. I've done it some in my life. I'm certainly not an expert. I mean, I've studied a lot about fishing in preparation for this series so that hopefully my analogies will be right and they'll make sense, okay? But I don't know a whole lot about fishing, but one thing that I do know that I believe should be obvious, but it's this: fish do not come to the fishermen. Fishermen have to go to the fish. I mean, that's one thing I know, is that if I'm going to fish, I'm going to have to go to where the fish are. They're not going to come to me. We've got to be willing to go where they are. In the book of Romans, there's a passage of Scripture that is extremely logical and also very relevant, I believe. We read these words in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, okay? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? I mean, God could save without us, but this is how he chooses to do it. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Now, I brought several things with me, and we'll get to all of it in a minute, but I chose not to bring live bait, okay? I thought about it, but I thought better of it. So, but I did bring some bait, okay? I've got some crawlers here, all right? They are gummy crawlers, but you get the idea, right? If I'm going to go fishing, what's one thing I certainly need? I need bait, okay? And there are a lot of different types of bait, you know, live bait. One of the things I've learned in studying about fishing, not necessarily doing it as much myself, is that the best bait is live bait, but also, you know, fresh live bait. That's the best bait that you can use. There are a lot of different types, and there are a lot of different philosophies out there. But, you know, for me personally, I like sour gummy candy, so this is good bait for me. All right, this would be enticing to me. Maybe not to you, but it would be to me. But we've got to have bait. And listen, I don't mean, I'm not talking about we're tricking people or, you know, trying to get people to buy into something, you know, trying to be sneaky about it. But keeping with the analogy here, the bait that we use is the gospel. I'm not belittling the gospel, but that's it. I mean, the only thing that's enticing about what we're offering is what we are offering. And that's the good news of the gospel. That's the bait that we're using in order to attract people to Jesus. But we have that bait. And boy, it is, I mean, the best bait for real fishing may be, you know, live bait that's fresh bait. But the best bait that exists is the fresh, relevant message of the gospel. And it's alive. The Word of God is alive and it is active. And Jesus is alive. I mean, that's the best bait that you can use to catch a person, the only real bait. And so taking those verses, okay, in Romans chapter 10, I just want to change the wording of those verses and apply it to fishing, okay? Whatever fish bites the bait of the gospel, that fish will be saved. You're either a fisherman or a fish, right? And how can a fish be caught without the bait? I can't save people. Nothing I have to offer will save them. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, Jesus can save. How can they bite the bait unless they see it? Now, one thing about this is you can see it, right? I mean, it's colorful, right? I mean, the gospel is simple and it's evident. And if the Holy Spirit opens people's hearts, they will see it. They may accept, they may reject, and we'll talk more about that in a few weeks, how to handle that. But when they see it and they realize it, they will accept it, but they have to see it. How will they see it, the bait, unless it's placed in the water? How are the people that don't know Christ going to see and hear the gospel if we don't take it to them? And how will the bait get into the water unless the fishermen go to the lake? We got to be willing to go, or deep soul fish and go to the ocean, okay? We're closer to a lake than we are an ocean. We got to be willing to go. The problem is, and listen, you know, I've been guilty of this too. So don't think I'm just, you know, hammering you guys, because this convicts me too. The problem is that so many of us will leave here today and get in our Toyota motorboats, our Honda motorboats, our Chevrolet Ford, and we're going to go about our daily lives. To our work, to our school, home, and there's going to be fish all around us, but we're not going to recognize them, and we're not going to go fishing. I mean, we're going to be in the boat, we're going to be out there in the lake, but we're not going to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to go fishing, to share the gospel. What Jesus has called us to do is to follow him. And he promises to make us fishers of men. It was a young boy who wanted to go fishing. And his mom said, okay, I want you to go. I'll let you go. But there was a pond near their house, a lake near their house, something. She said, you can go, but you got to take your little sister with you. And the boy, he immediately, you know, pushed back. He said, Mom, last time I took her, I didn't catch anything. And the mom said, she said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll talk to her beforehand and tell her she has to be quiet. He said, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't that she was loud. She ate all my bait. Hopefully he was using hot dogs or something. I don't know. But think about it. There's a message in there for us. You're here today, okay? I'm here today. I've sat through a connection group lesson. You know, many of you have. You're hearing the gospel right now presented. We are all eating the bait, right? Those of us who are followers of Christ, we have eaten the bait, and we continue to feed on that. But are we sharing the bait with anybody else? Are we just eating it all and keeping it all to ourselves? Are we sharing it with others? Because that's what we're called to do. I want to share with you two reasons why most of us are not catching fish, okay? First, most of us are not looking for the fish. We're busy. We've got so much going on in our lives. Second, when we find them, we just don't go fishing. We're afraid of what they might say, afraid of rejection, afraid of looking like fanatics or whatever the case may be. We never actually bait the hook. We never throw the line into the water. We never go fishing. Now think about this. Why do you live where you live? Why do you work where you work? Why do you go to school where you go to school? God wants to take you where you are and use you to catch the people where you are, at your work, in your daily life, in your school, maybe even in your family. There are people who don't know Jesus. You, with all of your strengths, all of your weaknesses, whether you've got the gift of evangelism or not, we're all called to be fishermen. He wants to take you where you are and use you to catch people, to impact the lives of the people around you. Your neighborhood, my neighborhood, your office, your school, they are lakes full of fish that are just waiting to be caught. And he's called us to go fishing. Listen to what Jesus says. Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And listen, I promise, and this is, I'm getting ready to go on sabbatical in a few weeks. And we're talking and praying about what we're going to be doing, how we're going to be leading next year, what our focus is going to be next year. And this is all sort of priming the pump for what's coming. Because I want you to be thinking and praying about what we need to be about as a church. Now that we have focused on equipping you for ministry, and we've talked about that, you're doing ministry, how are we going to use this to fulfill the Great Commission? And I want you to be thinking and praying about the future that God has for us. Because I promise you one thing. As we pursue this, we as leaders are committed to equipping you to do this. And we're going to talk more about that in the coming months. But the fact remains that if you're willing, and we can do all of the training and programs and all of that, but the fact remains that even without all of that, Jesus has called you into the fishing business, and he has promised to prepare you and to make you become a fisher of men. I mean, Jesus will give you the power, will give you the wisdom, the words, the opportunities, but we have to be willing to follow. We have to be in the following business. Which brings us to our third truth. We are also in the fishing business. We're in the finding business, the following business, the fishing business. And listen to these words one more time. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fish for people, or I will make you fishers of men. Isn't it interesting? God is so intentional that some of the first disciples he called, you have to put all the gospels together, Philip at least was already a follower of Christ at this point, but some of the first disciples he called were fishermen. And he took fishermen and made them fish, all of the disciples, fishers of men. It's almost, and of course James and John as well, fishermen. It's almost, not almost, he's giving us an analogy here that is true for all of us, but especially for them. He's saying, listen, what you've been doing for a living, I'm going to take that and I'm going to teach you how to do that with your life, but not for fish, for people. I'm going to teach you how to do what you've been doing, but to catch people and to make an impact for my kingdom. And we're going to see people change. We're going to see people's lives saved. We're going to see people forgiven of their sins. And they don't know all of that, what that means. This is just the initial point where they've been called. But he's taking something, kind of like the parables, he's taking something they are extremely familiar with, and he's going to take it, and boy, is he going to apply an eternal value to it. Take what you know, and I'm going to teach you how to use it for my kingdom. When Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men, he was saying, I'm going to take you with your personality, your background, your testimony, your influence, all the good, all the bad, everything. I'm going to take all of that, and I'm going to use it all to teach you and for you to use to catch people around you, to catch men, to catch women, boys, girls, to catch the lost, and to bring them to myself. He's going to use all of us and everything that we come with to catch people. You know, listen, it's wonderful to have this building that we have. I mean, we've put a lot of time and work and money into it, and I'm thankful for that. And we were led to do that by the Lord, and it's wonderful to have these facilities, and we should take care of what God gives us. It's wonderful to have all of the technology that we have, you know, all of these things, you know, and they are valuable tools in ministry, right? I mean, we use these things, and rightfully so, to share the gospel and to make people feel welcome and comfortable so that we have the opportunity to share with them. All of these things are so wonderful. But here's the thing, okay? It's easy to lose sight here, so we got to be careful. I mean, buildings and technology and all the bells and whistles, those things don't catch people. People catch people. God chooses to use people to catch other people. And again, we're going to get more into this in the weeks to come. But the statistics show overwhelmingly that the reason people come to church and the reason people come to know Christ is because somebody brought them. Somebody they knew. Somebody that they were friends with or an acquaintance or had a relationship with. They brought them to know Jesus. Jesus does the saving. It's not us, but he uses his people. People reach people. And we can't lose sight of that. Only people reach people. Now, keeping with our analogy. Now, Gracie, you said you wanted to help, so come on up. I need a couple extra hands here. Gracie's going to help me. You said it yesterday, so. Now, what I'm not saying is she said she wanted to help because she wanted a few of these. She thought I would be using it, and you know, we'll see. We'll see how you do, okay? All right, I got my fishing rod here. All right, I just need you to hold the fishing rod, all right, and help me out. And I got my nasty tackle box. You can tell I don't go very often because this thing's been sitting in the garage for a while. But we got to have some stuff for our fishing rod, okay? Doesn't have a hook on it yet, so I'm not going to hurt you yet. We'll see how this all goes. Okay, so hold that just like that. Okay. I haven't taken you fishing very often, but what's one thing you think we need? We've got the fishing rod. We've already got the sinker, the weight on here, because I just, you know, I figured that would be too tedious to try to do in front of a crowd full of people. So that's already on there. All right. Is there anything else that we might need, do you think? We need a hook. Okay. All right. I got a hook. And so let's see if I can remember what I did with it. All right. So we got the weight. That's going to get us down into the water where the fish are. And this is a big hook, but I'd use it so you can hopefully see it, okay? What we're using here, we'd probably be fishing for something like brim. You don't want to go, I know that you don't want to fish for brim with a hook this size, but, you know, it works with the analogy so you can see it, all right? So we got a hook. Well, if anybody's going to get poked right now, it's going to be me. But I actually have to get it on here. There we go. All right. I put a swivel on here so I also wouldn't have to tie a hook in front of you guys. All right, so hold it. Don't poke yourself. All right, so some people fish without what I'm about to put on here, but I always use them because, again, I'm not an expert fisherman. I like to use a bobber. Now, you don't have to. If you've got technique, you don't have to use a bobber, but I've got a bobber here. All right, so we're not going to worry about exactly where it is, but we're just going to put our bobber on there, okay? So we've got our tools so far. Gracie, I can't see. Even with my glasses, I can't see. There we go. All right, we got our bobber. Now, what's the bobber for? So you know when you got a bite. How are we going to know when we've got a bite? What's that? Bobber goes under. Spiritually speaking, how are we going to know who to share with and whether or not they're biting? The Holy Spirit. We've got to be in tune to the Holy Spirit, okay? I don't want to draw too many analogies here. We get lost in all the analogies. But, I mean, that's what guides us, okay? We don't have to worry about who is going to accept and who's not. We just have to be in tune to the Spirit and share with whoever the Spirit leads us to share with, right? We just got to be listening. And then when God's been working on their hearts and they're ready to accept, he's going to tell us that, okay? He does all the heavy lifting here, all right? So we've got the hook here. I mean, you think about it. You know, if you go fishing, there's technique involved. But I remember not too many years ago, we had only had Eli for a couple of months, and we took the kids fishing. And who do you think was the first two, I think, to catch fish that day? Who do you think the first two in our family were to catch fish? Annie and Eli. And I don't think they'd ever been fishing, okay? I remember Timmy was furious because he had not caught one, and Annie and Eli both had. But my point is there is technique, people that know how to fish, all of that. I'm not minimizing that. But I can take my two-year-old son, and he can catch a fish. Because if the fish bites the bait, what's going to catch them? The hook's going to get them, okay? Anybody, no matter how mature you are in your faith, you can share the gospel, all right? Because what's going to hook them is not you. What's going to hook them, the Holy Spirit's going to get them, all right? Jesus is the one who actually does the catching. But we got everything we need, okay? What are we missing? You've just been eyeing my gummy worms. That's all that is, all right? All right, so we got to have bait. So again, I chose not to use live bait. But all right, let's see. What color do you like?
The one with blue.
One with blue. You like blue? Okay, that's the most enticing to you. All right, you want to put it on there?
No.
No, you want me to stick myself? All right, so we got our bait on there. All right, so everything looks good. Okay, so now all we got to do is just walk away or drop it in the water and go about our business, right? What does all this need? What's the one missing ingredient? If I just leave the rod, reel, the bait in the water, what's missing? Somebody's got to do the fishing, right? God has given us all of the tools that we need, but you still need... He chooses, he doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And this is all well and good. Everything's here. You might not actually catch a fish with a gummy worm, but all of it's here. We can go find some water, but unless I stick to it and actually operate this, I may even get a fish on the line, but the fish will either eventually get off of the hook or take the whole rod in with him or break the line. Somebody's got to operate it. That's God's plan. I don't understand it. I don't know why, other than he's gracious and he chooses to allow us to be a part of his kingdom work, but that is God's plan. He chooses to use us. People reach people. Now, Gracie, thank you just for that. This is yours. You can share with your brother and sister, your sister and brothers if you want. I'll let y'all fight it out later if you want to use it, all right? I should have made her eat the one that was on the hook, but I didn't. Okay, people reach people. Now, stick with me here. Boats don't catch fish. Rods and reels don't catch fish. Sinkers, bobbers, hooks, bait, as far as that goes, by themselves, don't catch fish. People catch fish. God uses us. And God can save. I've heard stories. God can save people all by himself. I've heard stories of people coming to Christ by themselves on the side of the road. But it doesn't change the fact that he's called us to be a part of the Great Commission. We are in the fishing business. And there may be some here today, some of you here today, who are not followers of Christ. I believe there probably are, who don't know Jesus. And here's what I want you to know. If you're here and you don't know Christ, and the people that do know him, hear this too. The reason why I'm talking about this, the reason why we should be passionate about this, the reason why we are committed to this is that those of us who have been caught, those of us who know Christ, have experienced the joy of salvation. We've experienced the joy of having a relationship with our Creator, and we want you to experience that too. We know what it's like to be saved from literally from death and given new life. And we want you to experience that. For those of us who are followers of Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to understand that every day, all of us who are followers, all of us here at Wall Highway, every day we go out into the lake. Every day. God's going to give us opportunities to witness for him. You may not win somebody to Christ every day, but you can be a witness and you can share the gospel every day. And that's what we're called to do. Every day. And our primary business, we cannot lose sight. Our primary business as a church has to be the fishing business. Now I'm going to give you an assignment before we finish. All right? At the bottom of your notes, you're going to see a line. You see that black line at the bottom? All right, here's what I want you to do. Three things. Right now, I want you to think about one person. More than one may come to your mind, but one person in your life that either you know is not a follower of Christ or you don't know if they are or not. But one person in your life that you know who doesn't know Jesus, one person, and I want you to write that person down on that line. Write their name down. It may only have their first name. I don't know, but write that name down. Second, when you leave here today, maybe during the decision time, but when you leave here today, commit to praying for that person by name, praying for their salvation and praying that God will give you an opportunity this week to share Jesus with them. And then third, I want you to invite them into the boat with the rest of us. Share Jesus with them. Invite them to church. Invite them to come with you. Again, statistics show amazingly that a lot of people are willing to come if people they know will invite and bring them. Who is that person? Write their name down. Commit to pray. And don't just commit and leave here and forget about it. Pray for that person passionately. Prayer is powerful, and it has to be at the heart of this business that we're in. Pray for that person, share Jesus with that person, and invite them to come. Are we willing to be a part of Jesus' business? I mean, we said we were when we accepted him, but are we really truly becoming fishers of men? Let's pray together. God, we thank you. We're just amazed, or at least we should be, that you include us in this business, this life-saving business that you have made possible. Jesus, you gave your life. We are only here today because you created us, and we are who know you are alive and have a future because you've saved us. And we are a part of your work because you choose us and you choose to use us. Lord, for those who don't know you, who are here today, or who may be listening online, I just pray that, Holy Spirit, you would convict, you would draw them to yourself. that the good news of the gospel, that you came, you died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. You were raised from the dead so that we too could conquer death. That truth would just penetrate their hearts. And that they would call out to you, confessing that they, like all of us, have sinned, believing that you are who you say you are, and inviting you into their lives to receive that forgiveness. And that maybe during this time of decision, they will come forward and I'll have the opportunity to share with them the next steps to following you. For those of us who know you, as we leave here today and go out into our lives, Lord, there are fish all around us. There are lost everywhere we go. Open our eyes. Help us to see and give us the boldness and the courage to share, to respond to those opportunities in obedience. Lord, just speak to us. How do you want us to respond to your word today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Lord, help us to be obedient. Give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for a time of decision?